The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show for Tuesday, April the 3rd. On today's broadcast, we'll talk with Justin Fantozzi. He is the marketing manager for all of racing for the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company. 410 Sprint Car Rookie of the Year candidate at the Williams Grove Speedway, Ryan Smith, will stop by and talk about his alliance with legendary sprint car driver Don Kreitz Jr. We'll go north of the border to Canada and talk some 360 sprint car racing with Mike Farrell, the president of the Southern Ontario Sprints, and we'll head out to the West Coast and talk with 16-year-old sprint car driver Trey Sharks. That's all coming up next here on the Sprint Car Show, brought to you by Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them. The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway. By Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions, and Kinzer air filters, proudly made in the USA.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa, is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Hi, this is Nicole Bauer. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. It's our pleasure now to bring in the marketing manager for all of motorsports for the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, Justin Fantozzi. Justin, a pleasure to speak with you, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show.
Hey, thanks for having us. Appreciate being here.
Sure thing. We were talking just before we came on the air. You sound like me a little bit, traveling all around the different parts of the, at least for me, just the country, but you've been all over the world with all forms of motorsports. How did you get started in motorsports, and how long have you been a fan?
You know, I've been a fan a long time. I was a young kid. We slept in the van in the rain at the Indianapolis 500, and I got hooked from that point on. So I've been a fan since then. Got involved in motorsports through my engineering background. Came out of the University of Cincinnati, right over to Goodyear. Got started in many venues that we've participated in, whether it's been drag or sports, on the dirt with the sprint cars, on the dirt with the late models, asphalt racing, right up through the Cup Series. So I've been involved now. This is my 15th year with Goodyear, and all of it's been in motorsports, and it's been absolute passion. You know, we do things with passion, and very, very humble in everything that I've been able to see and those folks that I've been able to do business with.
One of the unique things I've always liked about the sport is each day is a brand new day, and it brings a brand new set of variables to the racetrack, whether it's dirt or whether it's asphalt. So how do you guys go about sitting down as a team, as a collective group of engineers, and try to figure out what type of compound is going to be the best, whether it's dirt or asphalt, to give to the drivers so that they could put on the best show possible for the fans?
It actually, that's the core to what we do. The development process and how we go at it is the very nature in our DNA. And as you said, whether it's dirt, whether it's asphalt, whether we have the three repaves on the Cup side that are coming up or in dirt, you know, it changes every day. Every night is something different. So you try to, you don't try to, but you talk to the drivers, you talk to the crew chiefs. Our engineers travel extensively, as well as myself and the rest of the sales force, just so that we can have that immediate feedback, so that we're constantly in the loop of the garage area, so we can keep track of shock changes, spring changes, what the overall feeling of the event is going to be, And then if necessary, if we feel that the offering that we have at the table is not sufficient, then we'll go ahead and do some private testing, or we'll do contractual testing with teams. And we try to, pick a range of guys. It doesn't have to be the guys at the top. We like the guys in the middle just as well, because they've got just as much talent. But we do not own any race cars. We don't own any motors. We rely on those folks because they're the ones who feel it day in and day out. You know, none of our engineers are drivers, so we don't have that direct seat of the pants feel. So we rely heavily on the drivers, and we've found over the years that dealing with the current folks is the best data feedback for us.
So the springs and shocks actually plays a big part in helping to figure out what compound, say, at a Williams-Grosby way to use. That's pretty interesting. So how much mechanical engineering and how much of an engineering background would a person need to have if they were interested one day in joining you folks and learning how to create tires for race cars?
Sure. We actually have two backgrounds of engineers, both on the mechanical side as well as the chemical side. But you were talking about the springs and the shocks changing the compound. You know, basically you can take a corner of a car, whether it's asphalt or dirt, and even if it was just a bike, so I guess it wouldn't be a corner, but one of the two positions. You can replace that in a dynamic physics model with a spring. So whether it's the air pressure, whether it's the construction of the tire, whether it's the springs, whether it's the shocks, you can replace that whole system with a series of springs in the mathematical equation. And then depending on the physics, because that's really what you fight with tires. You fight physics, you fight heat, and that's where picking the compound based on the ambient temperature, based on the track temperatures, is what that leads to. So, it's a fascinating industry. It's a fascinating business. And to be one of the four things that hold the car up, then along with the downforce, it's been a great experience.
We're talking with Justin Fantozzi, the marketing manager for All Motorsports for the Goodyear Tire and a Rubber Company. And, of course, we're talking not only about tires, but also things that are happening, especially in the world of sprint car racing. And, Justin, this year, at the end of the year, a lot of things do expire in terms of contracts. What is the current status as to whether or not we'll see the yellow Goodyears on the side of sprint car tires here in central Pennsylvania in the foreseeable future after the end of this season?
We have every plan as of this time to continue with those relationships, both at the track level and the series level across the country, and be there in 2013.
Sounds pretty interesting. What, when you look at it, when you look at the overall sport of sprint car racing in general, what is your take on it in terms of where this sport is going? And how can Goodyear tires help the sport to continue its growth that we're seeing throughout the country for the next, say, 5 to 10 years?
You know, we're in a unique position with the brand, with a nationally recognized consumer and commercial tire program, and that's really what it's about. You know, yes, we provide a product at the racetrack, and we have diligent engineers, and we provide a product that is safe and durable, and it leads to exciting racing. But if folks don't recognize those big yellow letters, like you said, and then that turns into top of mind for the purchase of their tires for the pickup trucks and their passenger vehicles, as well as the commercial trucks that get up and down the road to make the economy work, then really we need to look at everything that we do from a motorsports perspective, because again, that's what it's about. So, that's the whole intention there. So,
one of the things I've always been curious about is you do have the competition that we all know about, the other tire manufacturers, and just like racers, everybody wants to go out there, put their best foot forward, and everybody wants to win. So how do you guys go about working to stay ahead of the competition?
Well, you know, it's an interesting dynamic. And it's just back to the last question about where everything's headed. You know, you need to look at where the competition is. You need to look at where their product portfolio is. And, you know, we do take it into consideration, but not very much. And the reason is because, again, our unique position on the consumer and the commercial side and the loyalty of the fans. So we see the loyalty in the fans. We recognize that. we see that we're in a recession and folks are gravitating to different venues because they only have so much disposable income. So some of those more expensive venues may not be advantageous for our consumers, for the folks that we would like to see with Goodyear consumer commercial tires in their hands. So we do take into consideration what the competition is doing, but we rely more heavily on where we want to go, what we do with the brand, and those things in the future.
Speaking of the consumer, of course, as you know from your experience in all of motorsports, you've heard the saying many times before, and it applies really with the NASCAR back in the day, win on Sunday, sell on Monday. Since you guys have come in and been the official tire now here in Central PA for a number of tracks with the World of Outlaws, what kind of uptick have you seen in terms of consumer tire sales, if that is directly related to the fans of the short track racing across the country who see the tires week in and week out at their favorite tracks or while watching the World of Outlaws Sprint Car Series?
You know, I'm fortunate because I get to go to see our customers. I get to not only see our race customers, but then I get to see those commercial and consumer folks. And not only in their own tire stores, you know, right there in Callan Tire in Hanover, they had a big event where they brought in the whole Casey Kane Racing bunch as well as some local folks in order to drive folks to their business. And you see it. There's no doubt that you see it. It's right there in front of you. You just have to open your eyes and recognize it. So there has been an uptick. The other thing that I get to do is see our dealers on a yearly basis at our national conference. And the conversations that I have are very positive. Very, very proud of the effort that we put in with motorsports. Gives the man at the counter something to talk about. Gives him something outside of what our competitors have that they can have that conversation with the customers. But it all comes down to the fans and their loyalty to those sponsors of racing.
So in all of your travels, what's been the most exciting thing you have done with the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company? In terms of going places and seeing races?
You know, it's been a very interesting platform and an interesting career from an experience standpoint. And I've never really had a bad experience. They've all been learning, whether we're in the infield at Williams Grove, watching the passion between the posse folks and the Outlaws, or whether I'm at Calistoga like we were over the weekend with the Outlaws, or whether I'm at Indianapolis, either the 500 or the Brickyard, even at Daytona. But I would have to say one of my favorite ones is probably the first one, you know, and that would be the 24 hours of Daytona. If you don't work a 24-hour race, it's hard to describe it. You know, when you start the race at 10 o'clock in the morning and you're up all night and you don't see, you know, you see the sun come back up and the guys are still running. As a young man coming out of college, quite green, quite inexperienced, you get a lot of experience really quick within a 24-hour time period.
Yeah, there's nothing like on-the-job training, is there, right out of college?
Sure.
Well, Justin, listen, we want to thank you for taking time to chat with us here today on the Sprint Car Show. Shed a little light on what's happening with the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company. As you said, you're looking to be back on the tires here in Central Pennsylvania in 2013 and beyond. And, of course, the Knoxville Nationals, not too far away, the granddaddy of them all in August. And we're looking forward to our first trip out there as well. I'm sure you guys are looking to that grand four-night stage as well.
Yeah, the 52nd running of the Goodyear Knoxville Nationals is always a highlight in August. Me personally, it happens to be my birthday weekend. It's the same for Donnie Schatz, so it's quite a – there's a large collection, not only of things that go on outside of racing. So it's quite a good week of activity. I'm looking forward to the 50th running of the Morgan Hughes National Open at Williams Grove. So we got a lot of racing to go on in 2012, and look forward to it.
Well, and of course, folks, that means stop by, say happy birthday, and I'm sure there'll be cake all around, whether it's your place or over at Donnie's. I'm sure there'll be cake to go around.
One of the highlights outside of racing there at Knoxville is the Rotary Club actually has a pie sale where they try to drive business and try to raise money for the Rotary Club. So we always partake in that. So Absolutely. But, you know, we'll catch up in Knoxville and look forward to continuing the conversation there.
Yeah, it sounds great. And we'll make sure we get those Rotary folks out there taken care of and get some mentions on that as well. Justin Fantozzi, the marketing manager for all motorsports for the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. Justin, thanks very much. Look forward to catching up with you, whether it's at the Grove or out at Knoxville this year.
We'll see you at the racetrack.
Thanks, Justin. Appreciate your time today. And we'll take a break and be back with more of the Sprint Car Show right after this.
With 30 years' experience, Kinzer Air Filters is a trusted name in the racing industry. Their 360-degree dome positive charge air filter is the cleanest air filter on the market. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer Air Filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. It's easy to use and cleans with soap and water. To learn more, call Roger Kinzer at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103, or visit KinzerDirect.com. Kinzer Air Filters, made in the USA.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. One of the up-and-coming 410 Sprint Car drivers that you will want to keep an eye on in the future is this young gentleman that we're talking to now, Ryan Smith, out of Kunkeltown. And Ryan has teamed up with legendary Sprint Car driver Donnie Kreitz to form a two-car team racing Friday nights at the Williams Grove Speedway. Ryan, pleasure to talk with you. Welcome to the Sprint Car Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sean. How are we doing today?
Hey, we're doing fantastic. Anytime we can talk about auto racing, whether it's sprint cars, midgets, modifieds, Indy cars, asphalt modifieds, you name it, we're talking racing. It's a great day.
Doesn't get any better than that.
A rookie this year, but by no means a rookie when it comes to auto racing. Last year, folks, Ryan, 75 races, 20 wins. That's a pretty good season for you last year. How did you get to the point where you could be able to have a guy like Donnie Kreitz get hooked up with you and learn from one of the best ever to strap into a wing sprint car here in central Pennsylvania?
Well, it's kind of a long story, but I had a guy call me by the name of Todd Leto. He called me, I don't know, last April. Somehow I got my cell phone number and never met the guy, and he was just cruising online, watching videos, and come across the video when I ran a 305 at New Egypt, and he watched it, and we beat him pretty bad down there, and I ran around the top and put on a show, you know, and he called me. He really enjoyed watching it, and he thought I could drive a race car pretty well, so he got a couple 305s last year and wanted me to drive one for him, so that started, got the ball rolling there, and really nothing transpired till I'd say September. So we finally got the cars on the track, and I had the opportunity to get in one for him, and he was hooked up with Donnie and buying stuff from him, and so Donnie came to the racetrack, and that was the first time I met Donnie. And I drove the car, and Donnie crew chief for me, and he seemed to work pretty well together right from the get-go, and he liked how I drove. He's seen a lot of similarities between me and him. You know, he kind of sees himself in me 25 years ago, talking about Donnie here, and you know, he ran pretty good. And just from there, it turned into, all right, we're going to go run Susquehanna in 3 weeks with, you know, with Donnie's. Donnie's going to run there in with a 410. And he had mentioned he's got another motor, a spare 410 motor, and he seemed he'd be willing to put it in Todd's 305 car and let me drive it down there. You know, so that was kind of how everything got going. And then we went down there, and, of course, Donnie won. And We put it together, and Davey Brown and the whole crew was kind of helping me out. And I finished the race, I don't know, 13th or something like that, but didn't tear it up. And so that's how it got going. And then over the winter, we kind of put this team together. Todd Leto, he's the main sponsor, and Donnie has the cars at his shop. And I go down there twice a week to work on them and just get along really well. And he's giving me that shot that I need, you know. He wants to, you know, just give me time to learn and learn from him and Dot and Davey and go from there. So
yeah, that
I'm
is definitely
about running the whole Grove season. So it's a pretty cool deal.
Well, it's definitely a shot of a lifetime when you get the guy like Davey Brown, one of the great mechanics of all time. We were there watching you this past Friday night, And lo and behold, you were outrunning your mentor there. I thought it was the other way around. It's sort of like the mentor, he outruns you for a little bit to show you the line, but obviously you are adapting to the Grove. Debrief us and tell us what your first two nights of experience-wise was like at Williams Grove Speedway.
Well, we got a new chassis. We got a GF, one of the GF1 chassis, tied 2.2s, and Donnie has never dealt with one. So the first night, we messed the setup some. We're trying some different stuff, and for me as a new driver with a new team, and the car's got to be right. You know, it was on the tight side, and it kind of is a confidence killer to get into the corner. You know, you got 900 horsepower, and the car don't turn. It makes it tough. So, but we still ran laps, and I got some seat time. Didn't qualify the first night, but then this past week, Donnie decided to run along with me as well, and we ended up drawing in the same heat race. He started seventh, and I started sixth, and actually ended up finishing fifth. He finished sixth. I got in the show, raced through the heat race, and he won the B main. And then, of course, in the future, he got slick, and he went by me like I was on jack stands. I finished 17th. He finished 10th this past week, and didn't tear anything up, so it was a good night. And it seems like every lap, you know, every couple laps, I try something different, and I'm just learning the footwork and, you know, the throttle, the brake, how you got to use everything to make the car work. And every week I'm just seeing to get better and better and improving. So that's the main goal, and trying to tear stuff up along the road. And we'll just keep going back there and experience, man. That's what it's all about.
That first night, you had a lot of people around you, a lot of people talking with you, and you also had a horde of photographers that were wanting to document it because of the talent. Of course, you had a third-place run in the final standings last year in the ARDC Midgets. What was that first night like? Did you feel any – I mean, you're a seasoned veteran at your young age, but did you feel any extra added pressure that first night with all those guys around and everybody wanting to get a glimpse of the new kid on the block, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely pressure. And opening day at the Grove, 43 cars there, that also made it tough, too. You know, it was pressure from the team. There was not a lot of pressure there. I mean, it's more of a, you know, we get the car here, let's go out and learn. So team pressure isn't too bad. But when you got 40, 50 of your friends coming down there, they're sitting in the stands watching, you got to add the back of your mind, and, you know, you're trying to do the best you can, but, you know, and you can't go out and just hold the floor and tear stuff up either. So it's a mixture of, you know, you got to be patient, but you got to be aggressive and learn along the way. So, you know, it was a good night, and then this past week was much better. We got the car a lot better, and wasn't as many people there, like you said. It was kind of more of a regular show, and now we just got to keep going back and getting better and better. So
we're talking with up-and-coming 410 sprint car driver Ryan Smith out of Kunkeltown, Pennsylvania, who's teaming up with Donnie Kreitz Jr. to run the season at Williams Grove Speedway, trying to win the Rookie of the Year. Have you had experience at the Grove in a midget before?
Yes. Actually, and in the 410, I ran when Mike Hefner got his start back in 08. The Leland's car, the Leland's.com car.
Mm-hmm.
I had drove for him the first five or six shows that he ran, and I ran the Grove once. So I mean, I've been around there, and I've actually won there in a midget. And it was at 2010.
Okay,
won there. So I've been around there a few times. Know how to get around, but it's a little bit different when you got a big wing on it and you got 900 horsepower.
I was just going to ask you, what is the sensation like in terms of the speed of a midget compared to the speed of a 410 sprint car? And the second part of that question, Ryan, was you've seen numerous races there, but from the cockpit of a sprint car, was it everything you thought it was going to be? I mean, did you have a chance just to soak in for a second or two that, hey, this is Williams Grove, I'm back in a 410 sprint car with the iconic bridge in the back on the backstretch? What was... Are you able to soak that in for just a second or two before they drop the green flag and realize that how lucky you are?
It's quite an opportunity I got there. Just the big difference between a midget and a sprint car there. I mean, a midget, I mean, it's you're sideways, you're backing in the corner and up on the cushion, I mean, making stuff happen. But down the straightaways, you could eat a sandwich. and think about what you're doing the next day, and then get to the corner. You know, the sprint car, it's more work to get the sprint car down the straightaway than it is through the corner. I mean, the cars are so dancey; they're all over the racetrack down the straightaways because of the air. I mean, then you got, you're flying. First of all, 130 mile an hour, whatever it is, and the car wants to throw you out the left side of the car because you got the big wing on. And I mean, it's just a whole other experience, and you get so much power, so much grip, and then, you know, you got to take into consideration on starts. You got the car in front of you, now you're in dirty air. Get to the corner, you got to pull out of line. You cannot get in the corner behind somebody because the car's not going to turn. It's not going to work. So it's just all kinds of new things I got to learn behind the wheel, and from a midget to a sprint car, there's a lot of differences, and it's a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to racing every Friday, and hopefully maybe get a win here toward the end of the season when we get some seat time. So it's a neat deal, man. It's pretty cool.
Outside of Williams Grove, anything else for you guys with the 410 this year?
Well, we've been talking when the Outlaws come in town. We might head up to Rolling Wheels, and we might hit up Middletown. That's about it. We're going to kind of just play week by week. You know, if we start running good and running up front, we might make a trip out to Western PA, run Mercer, and maybe go out to Ohio or something. We've been talking. I mean, it all comes down to funding, you know, and it's an expensive deal, and price of fuel and all that makes it tough too. So we just like to focus at the Grove, and that's where Donnie wants to be, and I mean, he's been there for how many years, so.
What about with the midget? What's up for this season with ARDC for you?
Well, we got our opening day this weekend, this Saturday at Big Diamond. I'm running for Jerry Stewart again. He's out of Berwick. And I'm going to run, probably half of the ARDC schedule. Run most of the Big Diamond shows and, you know, stuff on Saturdays and Sundays and kind of work around our 410 schedule with that. Maybe we might even go out to Indiana Midget Week and out to the Gold Crown Nationals again at the end of the season there, USAC. So, you know, it's kind of we're going to play it week by week and see what we can do. You know, we start running good in the 410 and start running two nights a week, well, then midget stuff ain't going to really happen too much. So it's nice to be surrounded by great people that understand, you know, I got a sprint car ride and they understand that I can only run so much, so, you know, they're going to work me there, and it allows for a lot of good times, and that's the whole thing about why people do this racing. I mean, if it ain't fun, we don't do it, and, you know, Jerry and us as a team, we're having a lot of fun winning races, and so he wants to stick with me and race when we can.
What's the future goal, Ryan? Where do you see yourself in 5 years in auto racing?
In 5 years, hopefully be running 410 sprint cars for two nights a week. Maybe the Outlaw Tour. It's hard to say, man. It's hard to say where we can go from here. This is a big opportunity here with Donnie and Davey, and I can learn a lot this year. And, you know, we could start clicking off some wins here and make it picked up and go around the Outlaw Tour. You never know. I mean, it's another whole window of opportunity here with this whole deal. So, who knows, for 5 years, that's a long, long ways away yet.
Have you given any thought in terms of racing professionally down the road? NASCAR, IndyCar, is anything like that excite you, or is it just right now, in the moment, worrying about the 410 sprint car on Friday night at Williams Grove?
I think we're in the moment. I mean, this is it. I'm 23 years old. You know, NASCAR, that whole scene there is kind of far-fetched. It's more of who you know and how much money you got to get there. So that's kind of, you know, out of our league. And I think with this opportunity here with the sprint cars, I'd really enjoy running midgets and sprints. And, you know, even without the wing, with the wing on dirt, I mean, that's where it's at. So that's kind of where I see myself, you know, racing professionally, hopefully in a couple of years, and just use every week here this year as experience and learn and just keep going, man.
Well, Ryan, we want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with us here on the Sprint Car Show. Wish you guys all the best of luck.
I appreciate it, Sean.
Sure, thanks. And again, we enjoy watching your race. As Donnie said, you're very smooth, and I'm sure you might just pick up that win before the end of the season at Williams Grove Speedway. Good luck, and have fun racing the midget this year as well.
Thank you, man. Take care.
Ryan Smith from Kunkeltown, who's racing with Donnie Christ Jr. this year for the Rookie of the Year at the Williams Grove Speedway, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We'll take a break and be back with more of our show right after this.
At Rod End Supply, they have the unique opportunity to be involved with all sorts of auto racing and performance-related industries, including farming equipment. Whether you're running a go-kart, micro-sprint, midget, modified, late model, sprint car, or a tractor, Rod End Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performing at your maximum potential. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively with prompt and courteous service. Their promise is to continue to provide superior service with superior products that will keep you in front of your field. To learn more, log on to rodandsupply.com or call Bob Douglas and his staff at 1-800-284-2902. That's 1-800-284-2902. Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them.
Hi, this is Brian Monteith. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. We head now north of the border to London, Ontario, Canada. We're joined now by the president of the Southern Ontario Sprint Series, the 360 Sprint Car Series up there, Mike Farrell. Mike, pleasure to have you on the Sprint Car Show today.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me.
Sure thing. 17 years have gone by since the first race on May 18th, 1996, when just 11 cars were there. The SOS has come a long way. You've been president for 3 years. Tell us a little bit about the series.
Well, it's the definitely the longest-running sprint car series in Canada. Like you said, started in 1996. A group of guys didn't have a outlet for open-wheel racing anywhere, really, in Ontario. You know, had the passion and wanted to bring that class to this area, and decided to start a club. And they wanted to make it a low-budget thing that guys could get involved in fairly easily. And they started out down in South Buxton Speedway, which is down in near Chatham, Ontario, sort of southwest, closer to Detroit, Michigan, and in fact had quite a good support from some of the Michigan drivers that day to get the club started off. And it took off pretty good. We're celebrating our 17th season, so we've done quite well over the years. The car counts have increased since that first night. And now, we have since grown, and sprint car racing is becoming a pretty popular series around here. It's big time modified country, late model country on the asphalt tracks. But sprint cars, since we've been running, have really got a good hold on things. And now we have the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals event every year at Oshkosh Speedway, which I think is one of the premier sprint car races in North America now.
Interesting to note, though, Mike, only 13 dates on the calendars, 11 which are points nights. Is that set up in the sense that you guys are trying to keep with what the tradition was started and not have, a 30-night race, but this is more for guys that want to go out and do it but can't afford to do it every single week?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That was the beginning premise of the club, and I think that same core value still holds true today. That there's lots of races out there now. We have Oshkosh Speedway running weekly sprints. If a guy wants to run 30 dates a year or 30 nights a year, he can do that. But if he wants to challenge himself, run at different tracks across the province, up and down the Ontario, and also be able to do that on a budget, and with in mind that he's got weekends open to do his family things, take the kids fishing, do that kind of thing as well. He's not committed to every single weekend having to do a two-night race or something like that. That's really what the club's all about, trying to get more tracks, more action, and still be family-minded.
Is 13 days the general norm for the schedule? Does it fluctuate from year to year? Do you guys have a certain date in, a certain total number of dates you look for each year?
Well, you know, since I've been the president in the last 3 years, scheduling is by far the hardest part of the whole thing. I'll tell you, once the summer comes and we actually start racing, that's when I'm like, oh, whew, now I can just relax and we can have some fun, you know. It's these winter months when it's the most nerve-wracking, trying to, you know, get tracks lined up, get dates worked out, that kind of thing. We've got a fantastic host at Brighton Speedway. Mark and Angie Rinaldi have always treated the club very well, and Mark really enjoys having us there, and you know, they're sort of our home, really our home track. We have a lot of dates there. We do really well with them. Oshweken Speedway, traditionally in the past, we would have, you know, 6 or 8 dates with them, but since they've gone to their own weekly show, obviously we're only there a couple times a year now. South Buxton's a real late model scene down there. It's not so much sprint cars, so we don't get down there as much as we'd like to. We'd love to be down there more often. Other tracks, it's just whatever works out. We tried real hard to work a date out with Cornwall Speedway this year, but just, you know, in the end, it just didn't come together. And so, you know, it's just that's where it is. Plus, again, like, we don't want to have, you know, we're not looking to have 25 dates on the schedule. About, you know, anywhere 12 to 15 dates is perfect for the club. So, you know, we're real happy with the schedule. We're going to 4 tracks this year. We're going to Autodrome Granby in Quebec. It's our first time ever going over to Quebec. They're having a big Can-Am Challenge event May 11th and 12th. And they're having our club. There's a bunch of Canadians from Quebec that support the ESS series, and the Patriot series are also going to be there as well. And I think maybe URC are going to be there as well. It's going to be sort of a big weekend to kind of kick off the season up here, and I think everybody's looking forward to see how that goes.
What does a winner take home for a feature event with the Southern Ontario Sprints?
It's a lower budget, family oriented series. The payout is $800. When we have a full field, it's an $800 to win payout. But I mean, last place, we're still paying out, I think, better than any other club around here. So, you know, for the guys that come out and have motors that they built themselves, and you know, they're not spending, you know, $40,000 on a 360 motor from the States, those guys can still, you know, go to the races, have a great time, you know, be able to be part of the show, and at the end of the night, you know, have some money from the purse to be able to, you know, make it up and down the track, or up and down the highway to get to the track and have a good time and not really kill the budget. So,
and I think the misconception amongst a lot of people is that racers are rich, and so are those of us in the media. But as you said, you built a $40,000 motor, and you're never going to get that amount of money back, even if you won every single race you entered that year.
That's right.
Unless you hit the Big King's Royal or something. So
exactly. You know, if you're going to be, you know, a pro guy on the ASCS Tour or World of Outlaws, sure, it makes sense to spend that kind of money. But you know, if you're just a local guy, Saturday night racer, I think, you know, if you want to have fun, I tell you, I always wanted to race when I was a kid. I always looked up to the racers and thought, geez, you know, I never thought I'd be able to race a sprint car myself, kind of thing. And some friends of mine started doing it with they joined the club, and I saw, you know, wow, they're doing it on a budget. And talked to the wife, and I said, you know, really, we could do this, you know. And finally got her talked to it, and I'm a pretty lucky guy. I definitely got a good girl. She loves coming to the races and loves helping out. So when I tell her I want to spend money on the race car, it's not usually too big of an issue. So I'm pretty blessed that way.
Indeed you are. That's a rare find.
Yeah.
and a good thing there. in looking through the Southern Ontario Sprints website, and that's southernontariosprints.com, I see there's a number of family members that you have working with you. Tell us a little bit about how your family got involved in racing and how did you get started. Well, you mentioned how you got started, but you were saying to me before we came on the air, you're actually getting back into behind the seat again.
I am. Yeah, the club, the Southern Ontario Sprints, is definitely a, you know, like I said, it's a family-oriented kind of club. You know, we've got myself and my wife, Lori, is the secretary. You know, Dick Mahoney and Helen are the vice president and treasurer. Dick's been racing for 50-plus years, and his son, Warren, is one of the top competitors with the club as well. So there's a father. We got a father-son duo out there battling it out every race, and myself. Yeah, I've you know raced as well, and with the economy in 2008 taking a turn, I was doing some changes and decided you know it was probably the best not to be spending all kinds of money on the race car, and so I stepped back from driving myself then, but wanted to stay involved in the club and. Started working as president, and before that, when I was driving, my dad, he of course being a family affair, has always been proud that I think I decided to race myself because we spent so many times going to the track, watching together that it was his turn to be able to be on the other side with me in the pits and getting to see what that was like and helping out with the car. And mom, though, you know, doesn't really like. Helping out with the car too much and doesn't really like the racing side of it. With a young boy myself now, I do kind of understand what she goes through when I see him, you know, wanting to ride dirt bikes and ATVs and that kind of thing. When I'm in the car, she's usually pacing behind the grandstand. So we told her, you know, look, if you're going to be behind the grandstand while the races are going on, would you mind helping out and selling some shirts and working some merchandise stuff for us, and she said sure, and she got so busy, the fans just love it, and she asked my dad to help her out, so now my mom Judy and my dad Ron, they're our merchandise team, and every SOS event you'll find Ron and Judy out front under the blue tent selling the shirts and the stickers and all the merchandise the club has to offer. So I think mom likes it out front where she can hear the cars but doesn't have to know exactly what's going on. She's there, but, she's busy, keeps her busy. So,
my mom came to see me race in a go-kart race one time. It was a media race at Mahoning Valley Speedway here in central Pennsylvania, and it's an asphalt track, quarter-mile track, and we're running these little go-karts. She couldn't watch. There were four of us on the track.
Yeah.
Something about moms watching their boys race. I've already been putting the clamps on because I like to go race myself, but I've been putting the clamps on. When she dies, then I can go race.
Yeah.
So she's still living, thank God. So.
Yep. Well, that's great. Yeah. And having my wife help out, you know, is good. You know, it's really, we have, you know, we because it's a traveling series, most of the competitors will camp out after the races and hang out and all the families get together after the races and, you know, we have a really good time. We have cookouts and stuff after it's a lot of fun. Our champion this year, Lee Lattiser, he decided, Lee's from up near Ottawa, and he decided the past summer that he would, you know, come and race with the SOS and maybe not have to do as much traveling as he had before. We, you know, invited him to come on out and race with us, and you know he enjoyed it, so he kept coming, and turned out excellent for him. He ended up being the series champion, and the Labor Day weekend we have a big 2-day event, big camp out for the whole Labor Day party up at Brighton Speedway, and Lee's wife Donna came with her kids, and she just couldn't believe how many kids there are with the, you know, in the club. There's a lot of families with young children, and so they all have a great time together after the races and hanging out and the wives and everything. So she said, you know, some of the other clubs, it's just younger racers and they don't have families, and, you know, they after the races they pack up and they head out down the road, and she kind of enjoyed the fact that everybody could relax and have a good time together after the races as well.
We're talking with Mike Farrell, who is a president and also a racer with the Southern Ontario Sprints, here on the Sprint Car Show on the DirtTrackChannel.com. That's one of the things, Mike, I believe is missing in auto racing today. I see it at a lot of tracks. Haulers are packed up. People are leaving. Now, there are still some that stick around, but as soon as the races are over, they're gone and they're out. And it's not like the old days when I was coming up where the tracks opened the gates early in the afternoon.
Yep.
You can go pick out your seat, save your seat, then they close them up for about an hour, then open up around 4, and you go racing a couple hours later. Now it's 90 minutes, and as a member of the media, sometimes I'm lucky if I can get in, five or six interviews just to have the guys and gals do a liner for the show. And then afterwards, I don't know what we lost, but we lost something. So it's great to hear that you guys have that atmosphere where you can hang out afterwards, talk to people, because we've got to get the young kids. Their attention is drawn in so many different directions. We have to keep the young kids, you know, wanting to talk to people like Lee Lottasaur. And for those who on the modified side may say that last name sounds familiar, well, his dad is the famous Laurent Lottasaur, and his brother Joey, of course, is a great standout on the dirt circuit with the Pro Stock. So the Lottasaur name continues to be a well-known name in Canada and here in the States for dirt track racing. Speaking of the States, as we mentioned before, you guys are co-sanctioning the 8th Annual Canadian Sprint Car Nationals later in the year.
That's right.
How much during the year do you get any guys coming over from the States at all? Or has, as we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, Jerry Whitney winning that first ever race back in 1996, a lot of the Michigan drivers coming over and helping to support the series. Do you still get a number of those drivers making the trip over and supporting? Or how has times changed now?
We do, you know, with the clubs, you know, with the Empire Super Sprints and the Patriot Sprints, there's definitely, you know, a lot of opportunity for guys in New York, upper New York area, to run. And so, you know, we don't get as many as of those guys as we did in the past. We still do get a few now and again. You know, we've had Dane Nida run with us as well from Michigan. You know, Dane is heavy into racing wherever and whenever he can. So we've had him a couple times with us. He's a real good guy. So you know, in the early days there was a lot more guys around than there are. Now it has dropped off somewhat, but for the big shows like at Oshweken and South Buxton, where we're co-sanctioning things, we definitely get quite a few guys from the other clubs coming and running with us. So it's good to get all that other talent out there and you know, see where you stand in things before we head out to the Sprint Car Nationals in the fall there. And I mean, last year we had Sam Haferty, who won that event. His crew chief, Daryl Turford, is actually a former SOS competitor. Him and his dad, Peter, longtime supporters of the club, and Daryl, you know, got hooked up with Sam and has been helping Sam out and with his sprint car endeavors, and got Sam to come up this year. And I think Sam definitely appreciated Daryl, you know, saying, "Hey, look, you should really try this, you know, Canadian Sprint Car show out. I think it's a good show," and he's right. And Sam certainly put on a show for everybody last year. So, but you know, it's definitely a strong field of competitors there in the fall.
Overall, what would you like to see accomplished this year with the club? Do you guys have a number in terms of an average sprint car count you'd like to have, or are there some with the new tracks that you might be going to? What would you like to see as one of the things that would help to put the club on the next level as you guys close in a couple of years on the 20th anniversary?
You know, I think if we can have a year this year like we had last year, good solid set of shows. Maybe a couple less rainouts would certainly help. We cross our fingers, knock on wood, that you know, this year we won't have those. But yeah, you never know what the weather's going to bring. Really looking forward to going to Granby to the Can-Am Challenge on May 11th and 12th. I'm pretty excited about that. I think that's going to be a good show for us. And you know, it's always nice to have a new track to add to the repertoire and show them what we can do to put on a show. You know, and I think car counts, you know, what I've heard, I think things are starting to turn around. There's, you know, more guys are kind of, you know, like myself, get back into the game now and be able to come out and run. So I think we're going to have real good car counts for this year too. So I think it's going to be a good season overall.
Well, folks, make sure you check out the upcoming season of the Southern Ontario Sprints by logging on to their website at southernontariosprints.com. They are also on Twitter as well. And President Mike Farrell, we want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day at your own business to talk a little sprint car racing with us here on the Sprint Car Show.
No problem, John. Anytime. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Farrell, president of the Southern Ontario Sprints. They will be opening up their season in a few short weeks, 17 years now, for the Southern Ontario Sprints. We'll take a break and come back with more of our show right after this.
The world leader in suspension technology, Penske Racing Shocks has been providing custom-built, high-performance shock absorbers to all forms of racing for over 20 years. Offering only the highest quality suspension products, shocks are available in non, single, double, triple, and four-way adjustable configurations. All Penske Racing Shocks are hand-built, tailored to meet a driver's feel or car setup, and dyno-tested, ensuring the highest attention is paid to detail, consistency, and performance. For your short track needs, contact Dave Reedy at Penske Shocks at 610-375-6180. That's 610-375-6180. Penske Racing Shocks are available direct from the manufacturer or through many dealers worldwide. Visit them on the web at www.penskeshocks.com. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions.
Hi, this is David Gravel. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. We head out to the Pacific Northwest to Puyallup, Washington. That's just outside of Tacoma. And we are pleased to have on with us the 2010 National Sprint Car Hall of Fame Rookie of the Year in the 360 division, Trey Starks. Trey, welcome to the Sprint Car Show.
Hi, happy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you with us. Appreciate you taking some time out. Understand you're on a bit of a spring break at the moment, so appreciate you giving up some free leisure time right now to chat with us here on the show. 16 years old, and you've been racing since 2002 in your now 10th year of racing. How did it all get started for you?
Well, pretty much my dad and my grandpa got me into it. They raced like Grandpa started in the 60s. I mean, my dad's raced all his life and quit in 2002 so he could start helping me out. And I started in quarter midgets and moved up through the rankings until I got here today.
And what did your grandfather race back in the day?
He also ran midgets in the WMRA series out here in Washington. He also traveled out to Oklahoma and the Midwest a little bit for the bigger races. But yeah, my grandpa started in midgets and my dad picked up right after him. I mean, there was a time where they were actually racing against each other for a while.
Well, that had to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, as me as a grandkid and a son, I didn't know who to root for.
I was just going to ask you, who do you root for, dad or grandpa?
Whichever one's winning.
Hey, good answer on that one. What about mom? How was mom with the with dad racing and grandpa racing as well? How did she like that?
Oh, I'm sure she gets nervous, but I mean, after however many years doing it, she's got to get used to it.
Now, does she still get nervous when you race these days?
Only when I crash, but she's pretty good with it now.
I know moms can be a little bit nervous, as we were talking with one of our earlier guests this afternoon. My mom came and watched me run in the go-kart race. It was on an asphalt track. There was four of us for a media race, and she couldn't watch. On a quarter-mile asphalt track, what could have possibly gone wrong?
Exactly, yeah.
So,
yeah, it's tough on some of them.
Oh, yeah. So did you approach your dad and your grandpa about the idea, or did they approach you about the idea of talking and saying, you know, would you like to get into racing?
asked me if I wanted to, and I was gung-ho with it. I mean, I grew up around it. It's what I love to watch and go do, and I was excited to become a part of it.
Now, you're running the sprint cars, but you mentioned your grandpa and dad ran the midgets. Did you want to look at? I know there's not that much midget racing today as there used to be back in the days in Pacific Northwest, but have you given thought about racing a midget sometime?
Oh, yeah, we've given a lot of thought to it. It's just the sprint car came around where we felt we ran our course in the micro division, the 600, and actually the only thing we could get into with my age, I started just turning 15. Sprint cars was pretty much the only thing I could get into at that age.
And how much do you think running the go-karts and the micro sprints prepared you to make the jump to the sprint cars?
Oh, I mean, it made a lot of difference. The quarter midgets were pretty much what you had to start out with. I know there's, like, outlaw carts you can start out with. But down the path that we eventually want to go down, which is probably the midget and USAC non-wing stuff, the quarter midget seemed like a better path. And then when we realized that we probably wouldn't have been able to get into much USAC stuff until I was 16, we went down the micro route, which helps a lot out with wing and stuff, and you know, kind of introduced me to the wing dirt track feel.
So where do you stand then in terms of where you want to go in the future? Obviously you're having great success in the wings, but as I looked on the schedule, you are heading out to the Midwest after school is out and running the wings sprint cars with the All-Stars. But is there a time and place where you might take a look and decide whether you want to stay with the wings or you want to make the move over to USAC racing?
You know what? It's pretty much whatever we want to do. If I had the opportunity to go run a midget or non-wing sprint car, I'd love to do that. But at the same time, I'd love to stay with what we're doing. I mean, it seems like we're making good progress, and we have a pretty good future in running wing sprint cars. Or, I mean, it's pretty much whatever we want to do. If I get an opportunity to do something different, I'll look at it.
And your season looks like it's going pretty good so far. Not shabby when you're making all the A mains that you compete in the World of Outlaws with. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, at the level of competition that they're at, it's great to just know you can run with them somewhat. I mean, you got guys like Kinzer who's got 20 championships and has been running far longer than I've been alive. So it's a good feeling to know that you can run with those guys.
I'm sure he'll appreciate hearing that one.
Yeah.
That might get the Nerf bar then there at you if you're not watching. Nah, Steve's a great guy. Youngest driver to make World of Outlaw A-Main. That had to be something pretty special on your resume.
Yeah, I mean, that was a pretty good feeling. I remember it was at Cottage Grove in Oregon. I mean, yeah, it's really cool to have a stat like that, especially when you know, I mean, the guys that have run with the World of Outlaws before that were almost as young as me, guys like Jeff Gordon, and you know, it's a pretty cool accomplishment.
We're talking with Trey Starks, who lives out in the Pacific Northwest, just outside of Tacoma, Washington, the 2010 National Sprint Car Hall of Fame Rookie of the Year for 360 Sprint Cars here on the Sprint Car Show on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Trey is a sophomore, and he's running track and field and also a basketball player. Now, you were telling me before we came on the air, the high jump, the long jump, and the triple jump. How did that come about?
It's just kind of a thing I got into throughout the years. I mean, I played all sports when I grew up, and basketball is a sport that stuck out to me. I mean, it's my favorite one of all the ones I do. I got into jumping seventh grade year. It's just something that I really like to do. Didn't really like the running aspect of it, but I really liked to know how far or high I could jump. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, because you hear a lot of the high school football players, they'll run the track to help themselves get faster. But as a sprint car driver, I would have thought maybe you would have stayed in shape with the running. But that is interesting that you're doing the jumps out there in track and field. Season for you, track and field-wise, how's that season going so far?
It's going really good. I got second at my first meet. We have another meet after we go back to school. It's cool to know that I'm on the varsity team, jumping with all those seniors and stuff. That's a really cool thing to know.
So how do you juggle doing track and field, your studies, and also racing sprint cars? How is that? How have you adapted to juggling all that activities?
Well, we're pretty fortunate that all the track meets are during the week. And whenever we leave, we usually fly out so we can miss as little school as possible. And when we miss the Fridays for the Friday races, I usually get all my schoolwork ahead of schedule, and that makes it easier for us because usually the people who are doing what I do, they usually go on online school, and my mom really didn't want me to go that route. She wanted me to stay in school for pretty much as long as I could. She didn't really like the idea of not being in a traditional school. She wanted me to live my high school experience to the fullest, and so I think that's a good idea. But yeah, we really have to stay organized to stay on top of all my schoolwork so I don't get behind.
And what do your high school classmates think about you as racing a sprint car on the weekends?
They think it's really cool. All my friends, usually when I come back from school, they ask me how I did. You know, usually you see at least one kid a day wearing a Trace Truck sweatshirt wandering around the campus.
That's got to be pretty cool. 16-year-old, and you look over and go, that guy's wearing my T-shirt. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yep.
So what do you have in terms of aspirations if racing doesn't work out for you? Are you looking at something in terms of going to college? Is there some kind of degree you'd like to get so you have something to fall back in case it wasn't racing doesn't work out?
I plan on going to a four-year college. I mean, that's what my parents have wanted me to do, and that's what I plan on doing. I don't really have anything that I really want to get a degree in or what I see myself getting a degree in, really. If all else fails, my dad has a really successful logging business, Stark Timber Processing, out here in the Northwest that I'm always welcome to take over.
And those folks, he's already knowing how to get the plugs in when they count. You've been well-groomed, that's for sure. And, of course, our good buddy Tony V doing the marketing for you, so he's going to take real good care of you. And you sound like you have a great relationship with your dad. What's the relationship like between father and son as crew chief and driver?
It can get tense sometimes, but it works out in the long run because we live together, so we can work together and we really know how to push each other's buttons, I guess, per se. And like I said, we really relate well, and we both know exactly what we want. You know, there's no dancing around anything. We can be straightforward with each other.
And you're heading out to the Midwest after school is over, as we mentioned, the run with the All-Stars. What's the goal in coming out to the Midwest to run with those All-Stars?
I really look to come back from the All-Stars with a lot more experience because, it's just a whole different atmosphere out there, different tracks. I mean, there's a big difference between Northwest or West Coast tracks and Midwest tracks. And I hope to come back with a lot more knowledge and so I can apply it at some of the home tracks or, you know, just get a lot more experience under my belt. Being my third year, in sprint cars, you know, seat time is still everything and there's still a lot to learn. And I think the Midwest will really teach me a lot.
And, of course, once you hit Ohio, you're not too far from the sprint car capital of the world, although the folks in Knoxville might give me an argument on that one. So any aspirations ever to come over and run in central Pennsylvania sometime?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really long haul. I mean, I'd love to run out there. Midwest is the first step. I mean, it's a little bit closer. And but, yeah, I'm hoping I can make it out to Pennsylvania. I mean, maybe run with the Posse. I mean, they're the best local series I hear. And just run with a bunch of different guys. I mean, I'd be a lot better racer and just learn a lot more. Yeah, Pennsylvania would be a step further, and there's a lot of cool tracks out there, which maybe we can hit in a couple more years.
That sounds good. Now, you're third last year in the ASCS North West region. What are the plans outside of the All-Stars running in the Midwest with them? What other plans do you have for yourself for racing for the remainder of the year?
We don't really aim to run with any particular series. I mean, we're going to hit a couple of the ASCS Northwest. Obviously, we've hit some Outlaw stuff and maybe some King of the West 410s on the coast of California. And obviously, we're going to come late in the All-Stars. But we just, with this All-Star run, we just hope to get as many races squeezed into the summer as we can to get as much experience as we can. That's our goal.
And when do you guys start up school in Washington in the fall?
We start around, I think we started September 5th this year.
All right, so just right around, right after Labor Day. So you have a little bit of time then to squeeze some things in right around the big Labor Day holidays. Now, once you get back to school in the fall, are you still able to, with the weather out in the West Coast, are you still able to get to a race every now and then before you call it a season?
Yeah, I mean, our season this year ended in late October with the ASCS National. That's how we've ended it the last 2 years, running it Southern New Mexico Speedway and in USA Raceway in Tucson with Western World Champions and stuff like championships and stuff like that in Tucson, Arizona. Hopefully, yeah, there's always quite a bit of racing to do as the year winds down. There's no lack there.
Yeah, it seems like it's gone from just a regional type of deal to having a set time during the year to now. It's almost nonstop, and if you wanted to, you could run Australia and New Zealand during the wintertime here in the U.S., so it's really, racing has become a year-round deal, so it's pretty exciting. Well, Trey, listen, we want to thank you very much for taking time out to join us here on the Sprint Car Show. You sound like you definitely have your head screwed on straight. You know what you want to do. And we want to wish you all the best of luck as you head out and travel to the Midwest and run with the All-Star Circuit of Champions coming up here in the summertime.
Yeah, thanks. I'm looking forward to a great year.
Thanks. Trey Starks, the 2010 National Sprint Car Hall of Fame Rookie of the Year for the 360s, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We'll take a break and come back and wrap up our show right after this.
With 30 years' experience, Kinzer Air Filters is a trusted name in the racing industry. Their 360-degree dome positive charge air filter is the cleanest air filter on the market. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer air filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. It's easy to use and cleans with soap and water. To learn more, call Roger Kinzer at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103 or visit kinzerdirect.com. Kinzer air filters. Made in the USA.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show, everybody. Special thanks to our guests, Justin Fantozzi, Ryan Smith, Mike Farrell, and Trey Starks. Taking a look at some of the winners around the country, Lincoln Speedway had their fifth different winner in five races as Corey Haas picked up the win on Saturday night. Rain got the better of the features at Port Royal Speedway. They'll have a double feature for the 410 Sprint Cars coming up this Saturday, the 7th of April. At Williams Grove Speedway, Greg Hodnett wired the field for his 47th career win at the famed Oval, and afterwards he says this year is getting off to a much better start than it did in 2011.
We actually put together, Lee worked on a different car this winter and kind of hacked it up and chopped it up and tried some stuff. We tried it in Florida in the first couple races at Lincoln, and it just wasn't working, so we went back to what we used last year. This is actually the same car we ran Knoxville with last year. And just kind of went back to, I know we need to get better, but it's something that we worked with and got going with at the end of last year. So kind of feel pretty comfortable with that scenario. So we're just going to kind of stick with that and try a few things here and there to try to get better. But right now we're kind of back on our base deal. So hopefully we can continue to be consistent the rest of the year.
And Pat Kennan was the winner of the inaugural Mach 1 chassis Mid-Atlantic 360 Sprint Car Series at the Siouxland Grove Speedway on Saturday night. Last week's guest, Jason Johnson, opened up the 23rd season of the NCRA Sprint Cars with the win. Sammy Swindell is back in the points lead with his 277th career World of Outlaw win last weekend. He leads Donnie Schatz by 6 points. In USAC action at the Paris Auto Speedway, it was Mike Spencer over Nick Foss at the line. But in the point standings, it is Nick Foss with a 7-point lead over Mike Spencer. And coming up next week on our April the 10th show, we'll have a preview of the non-wing season in Indiana as that gets started on Friday, April the 13th. Thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget to check us out and like us on Facebook. Just type in The Sprint Car Show. and like us there on Facebook. Thanks for listening. I'm Sean Wood. The Sprint Car Show has been brought to you by Rod and Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions. Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA, and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.